wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back to another episode of The Gridiron Guys, your home of the NFL south of the equator. Joining me is the newly 30-year-old Cam. How did you enjoy your first weekend as a dirty 30-year-old?
Yeah, it was pretty horrible, actually. I'm in a bit of a slump after the Ravens got licked by the Bengals this week, and I'm really feeling flat, so hopefully this can pump me back up.
Jeez, they got absolutely licked. Like, liquor tongue must have been out there, and he absolutely sprayed all over your guys.
Yeah, they definitely got their pants pulled down. I don't know if we want to touch on them first or if you want to get into some of your games.
Well, before we go into the games, I suppose, should we talk about there's a trade week coming up, trade deadline, sorry, and there's probably a few rumors flying around. Probably starting off with, I suppose, the biggest rumor in the room, probably Deshaun Watson, I suppose. We've been talking about him a couple of times. He was touted to go to Miami a little bit. What's the movement sort of going on there at the moment?
I think from what I've seen today, there's all these rumors floating about that Dolphins have agreed to signing him, and NFL organization kind of gave him the green light, so you could say, to play this year if he does get traded. But I think the Dolphins want to have that resolved before they actually get him. We've also seen that he could be floated in a potential three-way trade to Washington. My thoughts are, if someone really wants to go out and get him, is Carolina. I reckon that's someone that could really benefit from him, but do you think his most likely landing point is the Dolphins?
I think, is Miami going to be a good place for him? Like, obviously, we thought that they were going to be a decent football team, but especially down there on the South Beach, it could be a way for him to, you know, blow off some steam maybe outside of the games, because obviously he's having these problems where he was alleged to creating his own fight club, essentially. He was about, I think he was 22-0. Had a winning streak there. So maybe he just got a bit too bored in Houston. Somewhere like Carolina, is he going to get bored again and sort of start up his fighting record? But maybe in Miami, he's got a bit of places to go out, let off some steam, have a bit of time away from the fight ring, and maybe that'll be able to let him focus on his football. They haven't got a bad side either. Look, I don't mind Carolina, but they're obviously very aligned around Christian McCaffrey, whereas you sort of look at some of the pieces that are on the Miami team at the moment, they've got a few wide receivers that if you put sort of like a decent guy in there, you can see, like, especially on the weekend, they can rack up a score quite quickly.
Yeah, it's very true. And I suppose where does it, because you'd assume that Tua would be involved in that trade package. Where do you see that leaving him? I guess if he goes to Houston, he becomes their starting QB, doesn't he?
Potentially, yeah. I did sort of see, though, that apparently Tyrod Taylor is making his return in the next week or two as well. So that could complicate things further. Obviously, Davis Mills he's gone no matter what. He's not going to be starting whether Tua comes or Tyrod Taylor comes. But I did see there are a few rumors about potentially Tua landing in Washington. So they're having a little bit of struggle. Heineke probably not doing the job that they wanted. And I don't know what Fitzmagic is up to. So outside of that, I think possibly if Tua is available, you can see Washington going after him, because he is a decent quarterback who has probably not worked out his kinks yet, but he does have a good future ahead of him, surely.
Absolutely. I think he's capable, but yeah, I guess he needs to get that right landing spot, and whether that's Washington, I don't know. Houston, probably not either. But there needs to be a fair bit of trade done to get... I know Deshaun's value's probably gone down, which is good for other teams because they really wanted a lot initially, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was multiple first-round picks and then potentially players as well. So it was a lot to give up for a guy that potentially had that sort of, potential to be deregistered and not allowed to play. So it was a lot to give up for just the chance at a guy.
Yeah, definitely. A few other trades we've been sort of seen floated around. We did see Joe Flacco has gone back to the Jets. I suppose with Zach Wilson out, that leaves them in no man's land. So we might see Minshew make his way into the starting roster if Hurts still has his struggles. Would you like to see the mullet back?
I'd love to, yeah. I'm really all about Minshew. I thought he wasn't the best at Jacksonville, but I don't think anyone is good in Jacksonville, let's be honest. So, and the Eagles, you've seen Hurts has been able to actually do a little bit of damage with them on and off, but his inconsistencies have let him down. So I think if you bring in Minshew, probably a bit more of a pocket passer quarterback type player rather than a run first guy, I think you might get a little bit more productivity out of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose with other trades, we don't really know much. I suppose there's lots of mock trades going around. There'll be definitely a few teams who think their window is open, but they still need a lot of pieces, or they've had a few injuries, such as the Ravens, the Chiefs. I'd say the Panthers will probably have a look. I'm not sure who else will. You guys might have one. I'm not really too sure. I know you picked up Kenny Young. You also flicked Kyle Fuller, didn't you?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so a couple moves here and there, but I think by and large, probably not too many big pieces that we're going to see moving around.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess we'll wait for November 2, November 3 our time. So we'll see what happens between now and then.
Yeah, so should we move on to week 7? Starting off, do you want to start off with your boys or my boys?
Look, I'll get ours over and done with. I'll start with the Ravens. Now, I was actually pretty hopeful going into this game. We've had a lot of games that have been pretty emotional and a lot of close games, and Bengals coming into our stadium. I mean, probably a lot of people tipped the Ravens after a huge game against the Chargers, who everyone tipped to be probably top of the AFC. But we well and truly got our pants pulled down by Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Credit to them. They played an absolutely phenomenal game, didn't they?
Oh, it was all clicking, wasn't it? Between Burrow and Chase, who have absolutely dialed it up together. Mixon did his thing on the ground. But just their defense, and you mentioned it a little bit there. You had a starting tackle go out, and that's sort of when the wheels started to fall off. But they just came and came and came after Lamar and really gave him no breathing room.
Yeah, look, he didn't have his best game. And I suppose the criticisms for him are really not being targeted as much as for him, I see, for this. Sorry, at the moment for us, I'd say the offensive line's been absolutely decimated. So we're having issues, and that's where the pressure's coming. And then the defense, this is just not a typical Ravens defense. I think we've given up 400 plus yards to 3 passes this year, which is just ridiculous. And I sent you a thing before saying we've given up 740 plus yard plays. And like, that's the most in the NFL by a long shot. And most in like the last few years, we've never put that many together. And I suppose with Mixon on the ground, he did nothing for most of the game. And then we let up a big play. Chase's huge 84, 90 yard touchdown came off missed tackles. It's just really sloppy defensive play. And look, I'd say credit to the Bengals. They did a good job. They played really well. They deserved the victory.
Yeah, it's crazy. At the start of this, we would never have thought that they would be sitting at the top of the AFC right now, but here we are.
Yeah, look, credit to them. And I'm actually kind of excited to see where they go and see if they can top the AFC North. They're good value in the betting market, actually. I still think they're third behind the Browns and the Ravens. So there could be value there for us.
Oh, one to keep an eye on. I suppose we should move on to what was potentially a bit of a snore fest for the primetime game on Thursday, Browns v. Broncos. That was just ridiculous. After Case Keenum came in, first play, touchdown drive, and then it was basically just a ton of three and outs, absolute punter's dream. It was awful. There's no way that you can run a team when you get that many three and outs. I think the first basically three, what did we get? 3 plays, 9 yards, 6 plays, 51 yards, which leads to an interception, 3 plays, 7 yards, 3 plays, 2 yards, and 1 play. Oh. And that was the first half for the Broncos. So
That is grim viewing.
How are you supposed to build a win out of that? You can barely even get a first down.
Oh, that, like, yeah, I suppose I feel like I was frustrated after our game, but if I had to watch that, I'd be scratching my eyes out. That is really tough, especially for a Broncos fan like yourself. Your defense is good enough and you've got some players, but that is just poor.
Yeah, I think that's probably the hardest thing. Like, you look at the end score, 14-17, we go down by 3, but like throughout the whole game, I think that's what's worse. I'd rather get flogged and know that we're not even a chance. But the fact that we were not even in the game, yet we still managed to lose by 3 points, probably so much worse. I don't know where to go from here, but hoping we go up, because I think that's 4 losses in a row and it's a bit tough. But I think I turn to the Browns. Obviously, Keenum, serviceable job, but the real man of the hour was the third string running back for the Browns. He just came in, Johnson, for 146 yards. It was a great game. I think it was debut as well. And I want to say, is the Browns just unleashing elite quarterbacks week after week, or are they just a good system for running backs regardless of?
Yeah, I was actually thinking this the whole time you were talking, and I really wanted to bring that up. I know they've got elite running backs in Chubb and Kareem Hunt, but is this just a product of an elite offensive line creating options for them just and channels for them to just run through? Like, this guy's come out of nowhere, third stringer, we've barely heard of him. I think he messaged an Alliance football team to try and get a run for them. Like, this guy was down and out, and he's given his crack and he's taken it with both hands. So credit to the guy. Mm. But yeah, look, is the Browns a matter of their offensive line is so dominant that any guy could almost come in and just do the job?
Well, I think it's probably a testament to their team because they have built around having Baker as their quarterback as not being an elite passer. Mm. So they've lent on the running game and made that their strength, which I think so. And it showed, regardless of even what quarterback you have in there, Case Keenum, Baker Mayfield, you know, what have you, you can still get in and you can run your plays as you would normally and still come out with the W, although a bit of a scrappy one, still get the W.
Yeah, it leaves the Browns in an interesting position. Now, I suppose there's three things that I kind of want to ask you. Do you believe that Baker does get a big contract? Do you see them not holding on to Chubb or Hunt because they realise they probably don't need to spend the money on either of them? Yeah, I don't know. What. And do we see Odell Beckham? That's the third thing I was going to ask. Do we see Odell Beckham traded before November 2?
I think Baker, you probably wouldn't give a huge contract to. You got to look, as we just sort of said, what sort of contribution do we get to the offense? And could you potentially have someone else who is around the similar ranking? Because there are a lot of similar quarterbacks to him in the league. Would it be so easy to just go and get someone else similar to him for the similar sort of price? And I think, yes. So that's probably why he's not going to get that huge contract. Two, Chubb and Hunt. I think if you really want to go for the playoffs, you got to try and keep both because they're just, it's such a great package. Like, it's so amazing. And so if you are able to maybe cut back on Baker's contract, maybe there'd be some money there to keep two of them. If you had to squeeze one out, I'd probably be keeping Chubb. He's just a monster, isn't he, really? And finally, Odell Beckham. I think he's never really clicked there, has he, to be honest? And so is this a quarterback problem? Possibly. But you can see that he's been targeted quite a bit, especially last year. But it's just these injuries lately, and he's never been able to get himself into the game. So I think maybe does he need another fresh start? Giants, he started off well, and then it died out. Browns, he sort of started off so-so, managed to build it up a little bit last year. It was, but then again, now this year he hasn't been able to get a start. So maybe he just needs another fresh set of eyes or another fresh set of grass, sorry, to go run on somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that's one to watch for November 2. Moving on to my next game, I've gone Titans Chiefs. Now, this is one that people probably pegged to be potentially one of the AFC Championships games with a lot of hype around Tennessee at the start of the year and obviously the expected hype around the Chiefs. Now, both teams kind of weren't living up to it initially. Titans had a horrible start to the year and have started to really hit some form. Now, KC have gone the other way. Is there panic for Kansas City at the moment at 3-4?
I think so. You're getting to the point where you're starting to get below a losing season, especially when the AFC West, some of the other teams, okay, the Broncos are now level bottom with you in Kansas City, but they've literally just lost their last four. But you've got the Raiders and the Chargers who are on song at the moment. You've got the rest of the AFC that are sort of leading you behind. So those wildcard spots are slowly starting to disappear away. I think Mahomes, for all his good work that he tries to do, he's now overplaying his hand probably a little bit because he's having to take on more of the role of, say, the offense that he was not so used to previously. I mean, and just as we sort of mentioned previously, we all thought that their defense was going to get shredded because it's just awful, especially in the run. And to their credit, they kept Henry under 100 yards, but they were just found out in so many other ways this week as well.
Yeah, look, I think that's the issue here. I think we kind of expect quarterbacks have got to have a slump at some point. He sort of came into the league and has just been rocketing to the top and has stayed at the top for a long time. And now he's in a bit of a slump. He doesn't have the defense to carry him. This defense really struggles and they're not going to keep him in games at the moment. Like, even if he scores enough, they're going to be allowing too many points. I mean, Derrick Henry had more touchdown passes than Mahomes this week with a great pass from Henry. I was really disappointed because that kind of hurt our betting a little bit, but that's okay. I guess Titans have really started to get a roll on and their offense is really starting to hit their straps. Obviously, we know Derrick Henry, AJ Brown starting to get into it. Then they've got players like Julio, who's been actually pretty quiet, but still doing a job. Ryan Tannehill was very serviceable this week, 21 of 27, 270 yards and one touchdown. So I think the Titans are one to watch in the next few weeks. They're now 5-2.
Absolutely. Going forward as well, there's a couple other games. Rams versus Detroit. I thought that one started out like a blinder, didn't it? Lions were out there playing Madden. There was onside kicks. There was fake punt passes. I mean, it was ridiculous. And I think they got out to about a 13-3 lead or something like that and almost tried to get the jump on the Rams, which I think when you're playing as an 0-6 team that's what you've got to do. You've basically got to throw all the tricks out of the book and try and play from in front. Unfortunately, they weren't able to hold that because Matt Stafford was elite and so was Cooper Kupp. And so I want to think in, is Cooper Kupp leading as one of the best wide receivers in the game?
Yeah, Stafford's really brought out the best side of his game. I think he's leading in all aspects of receptions, touchdowns, and yards. So, look, he's top dog at the moment, and I think that is thanks to partly to Matthew Stafford. I mean, Cooper Kupp was always good, but it's good to have a better quarterback, and I suppose we see that on the flip side with Jared Goff for the Lions. He's not horrible, but, I mean, the Lions aren't a good team. There's kind of two things for me for the Lions. Goff's probably not the right selection for them at quarterback, but Dan Campbell, I think, is the right person going forward for them as head coach. I think he's putting them in the right direction. He's very passionate. So I'd like to see them stay with him, even if they really have a horrible season.
Yeah, well, speaking of horrible season, do they basically lock in a winless season now? Is that it's a bit early call, but...
Yeah, I don't know if you want to get stuck with the no-win season. I think they'll probably try and chalk one. If they, like, they've been so close in so many games, they've got to chalk one up sooner or later. I don't think they'll lose every game. I mean, if you bet on that, there's probably a fair bit of good odds in it. But, yeah, I think they'll get one along the way.
Yeah, surely. And then another one that was over there, a bit of a scrappy game to sort of end Sunday night football, was the Colts and the 49ers. Now, this was played in absolutely horrendous conditions. And basically, it was only four players that shined. You sort of look at the stats. You've got Taylor, who had over 100 yards on the ground. Mitchell also had over 100 yards on the ground for the 49ers. Then you've got Pittman Jr., who had 105 yards in the air for the Colts. And you've got Debo Samuel, who had 100 yards for the 49ers. So you sort of look at this, and considering that Wentz only threw for 150 yards, so Pittman picked up 105 of those, and Garoppolo only threw for 181, and Samuel picked up 100 of those. So it was essentially a tale of four players, as I said. But the Colts just managed to get over the top and leaving the 49ers at a 2-4 record at the moment.
Yeah, 49ers are a bit of a fraud for me. Like, their defense, I don't know if it's because of injuries, they really haven't been performing this year. Now, I don't know if Garoppolo is the issue, and I suppose Trey Lance probably, is he injured at the moment?
No, I think he's all right. I think this was Garoppolo's first game back from injury, so that's why he got the start over Lance. But
yeah,
it's sort of looking that way, that maybe Garoppolo, one touchdown, two interceptions, he's clearly not the guy for the future. Is he the guy for the next year or two, though?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough decision, I suppose, going forward. I mean, they've got good enough weapons for him. Obviously, Debo Samuel's going very well. Elijah Mitchell's good at running back. I know they're missing... I can't think who they got injured before Elijah Mitchell came in. But they're a serviceable team, and they've got... I mean, Kittle's very good, so they've got issues at the quarterback position. So I wonder if they look next year at keeping... Like, not keeping Lance. Obviously, they're going to keep Lance, but they bring in someone and try and get, like, an Aaron Rodgers or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it was Raheem Mostert that you were thinking about for running back, was it?
Yeah, it is too. Yeah, it is, absolutely.
Yeah.
But so, yeah. All right, so are we getting to our awards then, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. That sort of wraps up week seven. Shall we move on to the Rookie Watch? Who do you have leading this off?
Now, I was going to go the record breaker, or on track to break the record. I was going to go Ja'Marr Chase, but I sound a bit like a broken record bringing him up for the third time this year. So I've gone a bit different, and I've gone Azeez Ojulari from the New York Giants. Now, he racked up 2.5 sacks, 5 tackles, which were 3 solo tackles. And he sort of had a, like, this is one of his breakout games, I suppose. He slid down the boards out of Georgia, and I think people pegged him for the first round. I think he slid to the second round, but I think he's starting to show why he was such a formidable pick. So, that's my pick for this week.
Yeah, love that. Giants are all over the Panthers, getting over the top of Darnold as well quite easily. So good pick there. For myself, I've gone across to Kyle Pitts. I don't know. I think this is his first nomination for the year. So it's taken him sort of 7 weeks to hit his straps. The unicorn, he delivered, didn't he? 7 receptions for 163 yards and a delightful one-handed grab out there, you know, playing on the highlight reels. So he's literally going to be a handful. You can see him. He's just obviously like the body of a lineman, but the speed of a wide receiver. And that's just how deadly that tight end position can be sometimes.
Yeah, it's interesting it took him this long to get on there. I suppose he had actually a pretty good game last week, but yeah, this is definitely the best he's played so far this year, and this is kind of what we're expecting with such a high pick for a tight end. I know we don't see tight ends usually go that high, but as you said, he can play like a wide receiver, but he's built like a brick shit house, so it's great to see him finally start performing.
Absolutely. Now moving on to flying and dying. Who was flying for you at the moment, Cam?
Unfortunately, I've had to pick an in-division rival in Joe Burrow and the Bengals kind of side, but namely Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow came into the bank, M&T Bank Stadium against the Ravens and just absolutely had his way with us. 400 yards, three TDs. He did throw a pick, but, I mean, that was in the end zone, so you can kind of forgive him for that. But he, this year, after coming off an ACL injury this year, you could kind of expect him to go slow to start the year. But, I mean, he is absolutely killing at the moment. Nearly a 70% completion, 17 touchdowns, which is fourth in the league. And he's got his offense humming. His connection with Chase is something we weren't sure whether it was going to work or not, and we were kind of dubious on it. But it's kind of proving to be that it's just been dominant. And I suppose he's got other guys out there, like CJ Uzoma has been really good for them at tight end. But, I mean, Burrow really played his best game against the Ravens this week. And I think he plays really well against the blitz, and the Ravens continue to blitz, which I don't understand why when he plays so well against it. But yeah, credit to this guy. He has been awesome.
No, unbelievable. Especially at the start of the year, we were doubting his ACL. We were doubting the fact they weren't getting more protection, but he's clearly not needing it. He is just absolutely taking this league by storm. He's proving why. It was only 2 years ago that everyone was saying this is a generational player. But, and then of course, as we do, we get a generational player each year. We got Trevor Lawrence. He was swept under the rug a little bit, but now he's sort of showing why he is that generational player, and he really will be a number one pick to remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, who have you got?
For me this week, I've got the random Bucks fan that managed to get Brady's 600 TD ball. Mike Evans scored with that one, and he unsuspectingly went over and gave it to this guy in the sidelines. Now, normally, I believe it's kind of like the baseball, isn't it, where if someone passes you the ball, you get to take it home, you know, like when you catch the home run ball.
Yep.
Look, the 600th TD ball, obviously quite a special occasion for Brady because no one else has done it before. So luckily they were able to go back and wrangle a deal off him. It was interesting to see because it started off with a couple of things like a jersey from Brady and Mike Evans and that, but then it ended up getting bigger and bigger. Now he ended up getting $1,000 to spend at the Bucks team store, season tickets. And I'm pretty sure I saw Brady was even going to give him a Bitcoin. So, and that's over about 60K at the moment, isn't it? So, he's done quite well for himself, you know, considering he was clearly there just having a skinful of lager and just watching his team batter the Bears, and he just happened to be at the right place at the right time. So the bloke's done well for himself. I did see that there was estimations that the ball could have been worth over 500K, but I think considering he came with nothing, I think he's still done pretty well for himself.
Yeah, he definitely did very well. Like one Bitcoin could be worth anything in a while. But I did see Shannon Sharp commenting saying, nah, take that home, take that to an auctioneer. And you're, as you said, it's probably worth a shitload more. But I think he did the right thing, and I think they've rewarded him justly. Well played to that man.
Well, I know if he's got season ticket holders, he can come back when Brady throws a 700th one in a year's time or something.
Yeah, this is very true.
All right, should we move on to dying? Who have you got this week?
Oh, I struggled to pick this week. Now, I had to pick between two teams. Now, I was going to go the Dolphins, but I'm going to hold off on them until we either see Brian Flores out the door or until we see Deshaun Watson land in Miami. So I've gone the Chiefs. Now, everyone pegged the Chiefs as the top dog in the AFC, and for good reason. They've been dominant the last few years. But is it time to finally jump off the Chiefs? And I believe it is. Mahomes isn't having his best year. He leads the league in interceptions, or he's up there, I believe. I think, as you said, he's trying to play his hand too much because he's got to do too much because his defense is freaking horrific. So the Chiefs as a whole are really struggling in quite a decent AFC West, so I don't see them making the playoffs. I did see some fan put a bet on them to not make the playoffs this year, and he could collect a cool $40,000, I think, from that.
Yeah, no, he's a smart man. He's looking ahead to the future. Everyone else is laughing at him at the start of the year, but it just sort of shows that, you know, even the tiniest little chink in your armor and all the water can come flooding in and your ship can sink quite quickly. And it's quite funny to see all the lovers jump off so overboard so quickly. So I think this won't be the end of Mahomes. Absolutely not. He will be back. He's too good. But I think possibly we all fell in love with his cannon arm, which how can we blame everyone? It's absolutely beautiful. But unfortunately, when it doesn't work, it turns to shit so quickly. So hopefully we see the better of him because when he does, it just absolutely looks good. But only time will tell if they manage to come back and if that actual Super Bowl window has closed shut for now.
Yeah, it's true. All right, who have you got as dying this week for you?
This week, I have got the Washington offense. They had a bit of a poor turning out this week against the Green Bay Packers. They went down 24-10, and it's their third straight loss. But consider this. They actually managed to outpace the Packers 430 to 304 yards and didn't punt the ball all day. They ended up with five scoreless trips inside the Green Bay's 30-yard line, which included back-to-back series finishing inside the five-yard line without a score. Look, I rate Heinicke. I said this before. He's a good QB, and I don't mind what he's doing. But, you know, he's a do-it-all guy. He racked up 268 yards in the air and a TD, and he also got 95 yards on the ground. You look at his connection that he's made with Scary Terry, and it's absolutely unbelievable what they're getting up to. But it's just his decision-making on those third and fourth downs, plus his ball security is letting him down in the clutch. Because, you know, if like those, a lot of those were turnover on downs, they're poor passes, they're poor decisions, poor reads. But you add on just a touchdown here or there, like that basically brings you back into the game, man. That's all it is. It's one TD, one field goal, that'll bring you back in.
Yeah, that's actually crazy. I suppose if you looked at those numbers, didn't look at the scoreline, you'd probably say, oh, yeah, Washington's had a day out there. They've gone against the Packers. They've put up some serious offensive numbers. But the score really doesn't reflect that. Now, going on to Terry McLaurin, I think I saw something the other day. Like, it doesn't matter. I think he's kind of, not wasted, but probably could flourish somewhere else because he's played with a whole bunch of quarterbacks in his career. And everyone he has had a good connection with. So he is a phenomenal wide receiver, and I absolutely love him.
Absolutely, yeah. So shall we move on to our team of the year picks, starting off with the offensive player of the week?
Yeah, offensive player of the week. Now, I was looking at wide receivers, and there was a couple of guys that really stood out. Now, Mike Evans with three touchdown passes, one of them from Brady, which he gave the ball away, as you aforementioned. Jamar Chase, who had a cracking game. But I am going to go with Cooper Kupp. Now, Cooper Kupp, we mentioned before, is leading the league with 56 receptions, first, 809 yards, which is also first, and nine receiving touchdowns, which is also first. And the game just on the weekend gone, 10 catches, 156 yards, and two TDs. I think it's pretty unfair if we didn't have him in the team of the year, so that is my pick this week.
Yeah, absolutely huge from him. I'm going to go with our boy that you mentioned previously, Jamar Chase. He's elevated himself from Rookie of the Week to Team Offensive Player of the Year in the Team of the Year. So he made up, as we said, eight receptions, 201 yards, and that beautiful TD, which was a long of 82. I got to say, although it was the poor tackling from the Ravens, it was delightful what he managed to do to make them miss. So he's been playing out of his skin, and we can't wait to see more of what he's got to show us.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal, and geez, we're glad we picked him up in fantasy this year.
Huge, boy. All right, now who do we have on the defense? I think this was a tough week to pick, wasn't it? Not so many standouts, and we may be running out of good positions to pick because our linebackers are done, but we're still managing to find some value. Who you got?
Yeah, I think that's probably the hardest thing that we've looked into, I suppose, offensive linemen and now defense. Now we're running out of positions. We're trying to find these guys standing out in a rough, and there's so many guys that are playing dominant games in the positions we've already filled. But I have gone Denico Autry from the Tennessee Titans. Two sacks, three solo tackles, and four QB hits. Now, I think he may be the reason why Mahomes was taken out of the game. He was just a dominant force and pressured him all day. So that's why my man Denico is my defensive player of the week.
Love that. We've gone back to the Bengals. The Bengals have been the bank this week for the players and things like that. They absolutely roasted your boys. But anyways, I've got Sam Hubbard, the defensive end for the Bengals. He rolled out with five tackles, 2.5 sacks, and a pass defense. He also pressured Lamar multiple times throughout the day. And I just think if you're able to get so many touches on a guy like Lamar, who is just so elusive, that's just a great game, full stop, let alone being able to bring him to ground multiple times.
Yeah, Hubbard was awesome, and our boys had no chance in stopping him. I did see that the Bengals racked up the highest amount of pressures in the NFL so far this year with 33, with the next closest being 21. So, I mean, that says things about their defensive line and our offensive line, but they had such a solid game up front, the Bengals. So, yeah, Hubbard is a massive standout for me too.
Huge from them. So make sure to remember, we'll put those up on our story, get voting, and we'll add them to our team of the year. Now we move on to the next section.
All right, after giving it to the Broncos last week about their quarterback situation, Teddy Two Gloves really delivered again and they lost to the Browns. What have you got for us this week, Meikle?
I'm going to have to go with Justin Fields this week because there's just no other way to put it other than he stinks in the NFL. A lot of people had him ranked above some of the other first-round quarterbacks in the draft, probably behind Lawrence. And there was plenty of optimism when the Bears drafted him, with many predicting him to be fair best out of the first year quarterbacks. His jersey sales were one of the highest amongst the NFL, and the Bears fans were chanting his name in the preseason. 7 weeks in, and I reckon the Bears fans aren't far off chanting Mitch's name and getting back as Fields continues to be horrible. Since coming in during week two, over six games, he has had a completion percentage of 57%, two passing touchdowns against six interceptions and six fumbles. He's been sacked 22 times, averages under 150 passing yards per game, have been only thrown over 200 yards once, and has a QBR on the season of 16, good enough for dead last in the NFL. I mean, this guy has been historically bad, and yet I don't think he is getting enough hate for it. I'm not sure whether people are trying to cover their draft and preseason predictions, but today, there's no question Fields has been the biggest QB bust from the recent draft. Now, people will say the Bears aren't helping him by not moving him around and the schemes they are running, but if he can't step up in the pocket and deliver consistently, then that just highlights his obvious deficiencies as a quarterback and isn't a formula for elite QB play or success. Will he turn it around, or will he join the illustrious list of high-stake quarterbacks who have excelled at college but have really struggled at the NFL level? From what I've seen so far, I just don't think he's going to cut it.
Yeah. Do you think he's jinxed himself with the start of the year? He said that in the preseason that the NFL was actually quite slow. And then...
I mean, in hindsight, it doesn't look like a great call, does it? You know, everyone was wanting him to get in, and this week they've been coming thick and fast for him, and he's just panicked. He either can't get out of the way and get sacked, or he's just throwing incompletions.
Yeah, I'm going to have to put my hand up for this one. I quite liked him before the preseason, and after you've just sort of rattled off those stats, it's fucking disgusting, and I can't really defend that. So I don't know what they do in the future. Or how long do you think he lasts, or do you think he gets pushed around the NFL for a while?
Well, I think they're going to give him the season, and I think if they continue to struggle, they'll probably part ways with the coach, and they'll probably start him at the beginning of next season. But if he continues to put up these numbers, I mean, they're almost Peterman-esque, to be honest. I just don't think they're going to, long-term, I just don't think he's the solution there.
So it sounds like he's got a career looking out to be a second string, third stringer, basically, running around a few teams by the looks.
Yeah, I reckon him and Hurts will probably be battling it out for that next season.
Yeah, look, I don't hold out much hope for Fields at the moment. I don't know if they're going to make any adjustments. I suppose it speaks volumes of Mitch Trubisky too. Like, I suppose he struggled there, but Fields is a whole lot worse than he was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, off the back of that, does he get another chance somewhere else?
I don't know, to be honest. He seems to be quite comfortable in Buffalo. Clearly not going to overtake Allen, to be honest, but there hasn't been much, because especially when you're talking about, we talked about trades a little bit earlier in the episodes, and there's really no rumors of anyone looking after at Trubisky at all, really, to replace, and especially considering there are a fair few quarterbacks that could quite easily be replaced in some of those lower teams.
Yeah, I'm just not sure there's 32 better quarterbacks out there than him. I mean, they might be a bit scared off with everything that went on in Chicago, but I think he's a chance somewhere.
All right, easy done. Well, I think that wraps us up for the Hot Minute. We'll catch you back next week.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Brilliant. Another Hot Minute from me. Cool. I think he's been pretty much undefeated so far this season. We're going to have to get him onto best bets now, because I tell you what, these one-leg losses are almost starting to kill me soon. I'm going to run out of hair. I'm pulling it. I don't know what to do. Anyways, well, I think we'll move on to week eight, though, shall we? And just have a look ahead at what the football has for us. Thursday night has an absolute cracker. Potential NFC championship matchup, Packers versus Cardinals. Although Packers without Adams and Lazard, does this make it favorable for Arizona, considering they have the home advantage as well?
Yes. Yes, it does. I think I would have really loved this game with a full complement for Green Bay. Cardinals, look, I keep writing them off and it just keeps blowing up in my face. I think they're going to fall over eventually, but I don't think it's this week. I think they're going to do enough. Look, they're firing on all cylinders, so it's hard to go past them. 8-0 is absolutely elite if they can get that done.
Yeah, I hate that. We keep seeming to think that. I don't find them super convincing, and I think that's what's kind of tricking me into going against them.
Definitely.
You know, and I would almost be tempted to go Green Bay again, because I. But how do you just fade a 7-0 team? And I think that's the funniest thing about this team. These guys are 7-0. They've actually gone away and beaten some really good teams too. And I'm still sitting here thinking, why do I not think these guys can win when they can quite easily as well? So Kyler Murray, again, has been dominant. And like DeAndre Hopkins is just, he's just automatic sometimes now, isn't he? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. He's just too good for them. I'm probably going to stick my neck out on the line here, and I'm just going to say Cardinals do not make the Super Bowl this year for me. I think they're going to go so well in the regular season and they're going to fall over in the playoffs, but I don't know. That's just early speculation.
Love it. Nothing like a bit of a Hail Mary there from you, a bit of a speculator. let's move on to a couple of the other games. What catches your eye on the Monday slate?
Early Monday, I kind of like the interdivisional game of Titans-Colts. Colts have been finding a little bit of form. Titans have definitely found form, and I think this could be a really good game.
Absolutely, yeah. Coming off the back of last week as well, Wentz will be taking a lot of confidence into that one. I think they can definitely stick it to the Titans for sure. The Titans are going to have to be really clinical here, essentially, though. That defense of the Colts can be quite... can get quite in your face, essentially. And if they're able to stuff the run, it'll put all the pressure on Tannehill. And we've just sort of seen this year that he's good, but I don't think he can be great if he doesn't have all his weapons around him working for him.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Brown Steelers looks like it'd be pretty good. Now, there's another game in the 4 a.m. slot for us. Do the Lions get their first victory against the haphazard Eagles?
It's certainly a big chance for them as well, playing at home. I think Hurts has been a bit of an interesting one this year, hasn't he? Sometimes he's been able to really click with it, but a lot of the times we've seen he's basically just rocks and diamonds. Goff has been working well with Swift, I think, a lot recently, and they should be able to unpick the Eagles quite easily. But it's really whether what type of Hurts shows up, and we keep saying this, but is he good? Is he not? It's just going to be a question that I don't think is ever going to be answered.
No, I agree, but I really hope they can chalk one up and we can really throw it in Mikko's face, but I suppose he won't be too upset he doesn't like Hurts. looking into the later games, there's not really much jumping out at me. There's two that I think could be interesting. Broncos-Washington and Vikings, I don't mind to upset the Cowboys. I don't know if it happens, but I think they could.
Yeah, absolutely. Vikings fresh off the bye, and same with the Cowboys, correct me if I'm wrong, but both pretty much in-form quarterbacks, Prescott and Cousins. You've also got the elite running backs of Cook and Elliott, wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson. This basically just has both two high-powered offenses going at each other, and I think it could be fun. We've mentioned this before. Minnesota's 3-3 ranking. It's very deceiving considering what type of football team they actually are. They've lost a couple close ones, but you can sort of see them again here. I'd almost be tempted to take them with the home advantage, but I can't fade on my boys in Dallas. I'm really enjoying watching Prescott play at the moment. He's having a lot of fun. And their defense has actually been quite good as well, Dallas. So I'd be leaning towards them today.
Yeah, that's fair. Now, can your boys get it done against the Washington football team?
Jesus, well, I think if we don't, I'm going to have to be cutting up some jerseys or putting them on fire at home. But look, I think this is a really good chance, okay? You've got a Washington team that normally has an elite defense, but this year has been sort of so-so. We haven't heard too much about them. But as we sort of mentioned before, this is an offense that is quite similar to ours. You know, not so much the three and outs. That's, specifically a Denver thing. We like to make that our, fun stat. However, Washington, as we saw, they weren't able to complete as much on those third and fourth downs. So hopefully if we're able to bring the pressure, I believe there is talk of also Jerry Jeudy coming back from injury. So that may give Teddy Bridgewater another option. If we're able to get the run game going, as I always say this, I feel like a broken record sometimes. If you got a run game, you got a winning game.
Yeah, you do. You do say that a lot, but it's probably tried and true. Is there anything else that you liked for the rest of the week?
Probably just Bucks v Saints normally should be a blinder of a game, but we have Famous here who had a bit of a struggle against the Seahawks. I think they're going to come up against an absolute power of Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay is going to want to squash their division rivals and basically sew up their division. If they win this, they go 7-1. And I think you can basically pretty much say that they've won their division after this one.
Yeah, easy.
And then I suppose finally, we look at the Giants and the Chiefs, not something that we would tout as a close one, but Giants 2-5, Chiefs 3-4. Chiefs have the home advantage. However, Giants could be looking good on the ground, especially against the scrappy defense like the Chiefs. Interesting way to finish up the week. Hard to see which way that one goes, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess it's very dependent on if Mahomes plays. And we want to see some more action out of our boy Danny Dimes with a one-handed catch on the weekend. That was just unbelievable to watch.
Jesus, so good. How much have you seen these quarterbacks go out? Like, there's been a couple of Philly specials lately, hasn't there?
Yeah, we love that. Absolutely love that.
But that should wrap us up for week 8. Now we'll just talk a little bit about the college football again. The potty curse continues. We talked about OK State last week, and they naturally got upset by Iowa State to end their unbeaten run. I think as well, I saw something over the years. It was about 10 or so years ago that it was Iowa State as well who ended OK State's previous undefeated run when they were ranked second, I believe. It was mid-2000s, something like that. So they definitely know how to spoil the party. I think this likely ends their playoff hopes. However, we still look forward to their end-of-season matchup versus OU. And considering that there is no championship game for them, they'll be wanting to try and get one back and get on top of that leaderboard.
Yeah, we've really put the wood on a lot of teams. We'll probably put one on another team soon. Looking at the rankings so far, I think Georgia, Cincinnati, Bama, Oklahoma, do we see that changing too much towards the end of the year?
Not particularly. I think Cincinnati had a little bit of a scare over the weekend, but they managed to keep it tight against Navy. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was one of the defensive teams.
Yes, yep. It was Navy. Yep, because they picked Cincinnati with the line and they really let me down.
Yeah, geez. But Alabama's striding through. They had a great game against Tennessee. We thought they would be a lot closer to Tennessee. But Bryce Young, when he gets the ball rolling, they're quite good. I think OU will be good. As I said, they seem to be going, and especially the change of quarterback for them has absolutely rejuvenated that side. I mean, they're still undefeated regardless, but I think we still look at Georgia. They're just high and away. They didn't even play this weekend and still no one's questioning them essentially. So hard to get away from them really is the number one team.
Yeah, they're the ones to beat this year. The only one that I can see looking outside in, Ohio State are starting to really hit their straps. I know they slipped up against Oregon, but Oregon are good. So they're one that could jump in with a win-out season now.
Absolutely. And they've easily got the best quarterback in the nation. CJ Stroud has been electric at the moment. He's thrown for almost 2,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions. So that's Heisman numbers right there for you.
Absolutely.
So this week we're going to turn our attention to another 2 undefeated teams. So this way, regardless of the potty curse, one will lose, but we will actually have one winner as well. We have the 2 Michigan teams. Michigan State hosts Michigan this week. As I said, matchup of the undefeated programs. Both running absolutely high-powered offense, but I'd say if you look at it, Michigan's sporting the better defense at the moment. Michigan have not played a ranked team yet. However, Miami State has. They beat Miami in week 3. So currently their resumes probably not as chunky as some of the other ones that we've sort of seen around with playing ranked opponents, but still been quite destructive in their wins.
Yeah, it always makes for a good match. Michigan State, there was some in the previous years, I think 2015, 2014, there was just some absolutely elite finishes. Now, I think, where is this one being played at Michigan State? Who, I guess, will go against each other? Who would you prefer to pick out of this and we'll go head-to-head?
I think I like Michigan at the moment. I'm a big fan of them and I'm a big fan of Corum. I was looking at the numbers, though. Obviously, Michigan State quarter running back, Walker, and Corum have been putting up video game numbers at the moment. But I just find that Corum seems to be that beast down back, and I'm really a fan of him. McNamara's been great in the air, and I just like what Harbaugh's doing, you know. They're playing Michigan football. What's the call? They're out there. They're having fun. They're running plays. They're just enjoying themselves, and there's nothing more than I like a football team that's enjoying themselves out there.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, yeah, you can take Michigan and I'll take Michigan State. Unfortunately, I'm not a huge fan of Michigan State, as I sat through a tennis match with their fans sitting next to me for a few hours at Tennessee and I just can't cop them anymore, but I'll do it for the case of the program. Look, I think you're right in saying Michigan's going to win this. I think they're a much better team. They're a much better coach team with our mate Harbaugh. And they're probably, look, yeah, you're right. When you look at their schedules, I guess they haven't really played anyone of note. The end of the season, they're really going to hit some hard teams. Michigan have Penn State, who slipped up against Illinois in the 9 overtime, and then finished the season at Ohio State. And then, lo and behold, Michigan State in the same conference have to play Ohio State and Penn State to finish us off. So I dare say those two won't be making it to the playoff.
Yeah, especially considering all four of those teams are in the same, the Big Ten East. So we talked about Iowa sort of matching up potentially against Minnesota to take out the Big Ten West. Iowa probably looking the goods to be over there. But considering the Big Ten East, you've got Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State, who are all four ranked teams. Three of those are undefeated in their conference. You know, it's going to be tough to see who gets through. And it's going to be those tiebreakers, essentially. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top. But this is the start of the beginning of the end, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone's going to go down this week, and then I dare say it's going to be the downfall for the rest of the season. I think that almost wraps us up for this week. Have you got anything else?
No, that about ties us up, I think, in a nice little bow. So really enjoyed this week. Keen to get back onto it next week. As we said, just get in touch with the socials again. We're really enjoying those polls, and we'll be all over it.
Yep. All right. Now keep your eyes out for trades between now and November 2, and we'll see some big things coming next week in next week's episode.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.